To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Active Faith, as we pick up in Acts chapter 19, verse 12. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
I think that it is important that faith be activated. Too many times we have what is classified as passive faith, but I think that's a misnomer. I don't think you can have passive faith. I think that faith is active, or else it is not faith. But we don't always act upon our faith. And I think that it is valuable to have a point of contact where I release faith. And I think that the bringing of a handkerchief from Paul or the sweatband, as the case may be, and laying it upon the sick person was a place of releasing faith. I know that, you know, as this handkerchief is laid on me, I'm going to be healed. God's going to touch me, you know. And it gives us just a point of contact to release faith. There used to be a man in Los Angeles, his name was Kelso Glover, who for years was on the radio, a deeply spiritual man that I admired. And he had the practice of sending out handkerchiefs. Now, there are some that are doing that I don't admire. It's sheer gimmickry. And they only are doing it in order to get you on the mailing list, to get you as one of their regular contributors. And I think that borders blasphemy, and I cannot be in sympathy with it. I abhor it. But Kelso Glover was a beautiful, godly man, a man of prayer. And when I was a student in college, I became acquainted with him, and many times I would pray with him as he would take a stack of little cloths and lay his hands on them and pray over them that God would use these as instruments of stirring a person's faith to receive the work of God. And then people would write from all over requesting these handkerchiefs, and he would mail them out. And he received a lot of interesting letters of how God had worked a healing in the life of people who had received these handkerchiefs. I remember especially one letter that he received from a lady who had requested the handkerchief, and he sent it out to her, and he got another letter back. And in her second letter, she said, "Would you please send me another handkerchief?" She said, "The one that you sent me, I had on my table." And she said, "My son, who is an unbeliever, came by with his family to go to the theater. And he saw it, and he said, 'What's this, Mom?' And she said, 'Oh, that's an anointed cloth that an evangelist sent me.' And he said, 'Well, I think I'll take it with me.' And he stuck it in his coat pocket and went to the theater with his family. And during the movie, he said to his wife, 'I smell smoke.' And she said, 'You're crazy. You don't have any sense of smell.' And it was true, he did not have any olfactory senses. And he said, 'I tell you, I smell smoke.' She said, 'I tell you, you're crazy. You can't smell.' And so he went to the stage of the theater, and he said, 'Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a slight problem, and we want you to all evacuate the theater immediately. And he stood there and ordered the evacuation of the theater while his wife thought that he had gone completely insane. Once the theater was safely evacuated, a fire broke out and consumed the theater. She said, "He won't give me my cloth back. Would you please send me another one?" Now, I read the letter. You that have difficulty believing that only have difficulty because of your limited concept of God's power. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus said, only believe, all things are possible. And so special miracles were wrought by Paul. And a part of this was taking these cloths, his aprons. And wouldn't that be a sort of a difficult thing every time you take your apron off to go preach, someone rips off your apron? But yet they would take them unto the sick, lay them on them, and God would work. Now you remember in the Old Testament, the case of Elisha the prophet when they buried him? And some time later, there was a war going on, and this guy was killed, and they tossed him into the pit where they had buried Elisha. And when the guy landed, you know, the power of the bones or whatever, I don't know, the guy was revived and came back to life. Now, of course, a person might say, well, you know, when he landed at the bottom, you know, that jarred his lungs and he started breathing again. The scripture would seem to indicate that there was just latent power even in the bones of Elisha. Now, I'm certain that there are many things about the power of God that we have so little understanding. God help us that we would not limit him anymore by our unbelief, but we'd just say, well, listen, God can do anything. And just begin to expect God to do anything. And you know, if you'll just start expecting God to do anything, you'll find he'll begin to do something. He'll begin to do an awful lot in your life if you just begin to expect him. Release your faith. Turn it loose. Take the bridle off from God and let him begin to work freely. Don't be afraid of what God might desire to do in your life. Give him that freedom. So, from Paul's body, they brought the handkerchiefs and aprons to the sick. Diseases departed. Evil spirits went out. And then there were certain of the vagabond Jews who were exorcists. Now, Ephesus was a place of great superstition. There were all kinds of magical little amulets that you could purchase there in Ephesus, good luck charms. And the people believed a lot in these things. And there were certain Jews who said that certain writings of the scripture had magical value to help you or to protect you in certain things. So they were wrapping up these little portions of the scriptures and selling them to people. If you wanted to be wealthy, then you could buy this little magical portion of scripture and carry it on you, and wealth would start to come to you. Or if you wanted, you know, different things, they had little scriptures for all kinds of different things. They had their little shops, and you could buy these little magical charms, which in that case, with these exorcist Jews, were portions of scripture that were supposed to do all kinds of magical things. And some of them took upon themselves to call upon the evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches," because they had heard, no doubt, Paul in the name of Jesus commanding evil spirits to leave. Now, there were seven sons of one man whose name was Sceva. He was a Jew, and he was a chief of these priests which did these things. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Quite often, persons who are possessed by demonic forces have supernatural strength and power. In this one case, this man possessed by the evil spirit, possessing that supernatural power, was able to overcome these seven brothers and give them a pretty bad time, ripping off their clothes, beating them up, and sending them fleeing. And this was known to all of the Jews and the Greeks who dwelt at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And so God used even this experience of these fellows who were rather fraudulent, but God even used that to spread the word. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used magical books, books of the curious arts, they're books of magic. They brought their books together and burned them before all of the men, and they estimated the price of them to be about 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So Paul had a very effective and powerful ministry there in Ephesus. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Paul had itchy feet. He couldn't stay too long in one place when the whole world was needing the gospel. Now, his purpose of leaving Ephesus to go over to Macedonia or back to Greece to the churches was to collect an offering, because the church in Jerusalem was going through some real financial problems. The early attempt at communism was a total failure, and it left the church in a bankrupt state. Now, though the church in Jerusalem, it would seem, treated Paul in a very shabby way, it was his desire to take to them financial help. And so he called upon the churches to help those in Jerusalem. It is interesting, Paul never asked for an offering for himself, nor did he ever ask for an offering to support his ministry. But he did ask them for an offering to support the poor Jews in Jerusalem. But he didn't ever ask for himself. And so his desire was to go to those churches to collect from them an offering to take to the brethren in Jerusalem. And after he had taken it to Jerusalem, then his intention, I've got to see Rome too. There's where it's at, you know. So he sent to Macedonia two of those that had been ministering to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he stayed in Asia for a season. So he sent messages to the churches. And in the Corinthian letter, he said, now, you know, when you gather together, each one bring an offering as God has laid upon your heart. So give, and God loves the hilarious giver. He was talking about giving to this offering that he would collect when he would go on back to Jerusalem. And at the same time, there arose no stir about that way. Again, the reference to the way. There was no small stir. People began to get stirred up because there was a certain man whose name was Demetrius, and he was a silversmith, and he made silver shrines for Diana, which is the Latin name for Artemis, the Greek goddess, who was that little goddess with a multi-breasted goddess. You've probably seen pictures of her. Artemis, the goddess of fertility, worshipped by the Greeks, the idea of the multitude of breasts was the ability to nurse many, many children, I guess, at once, the goddess of fertility. And this fellow Demetrius was a silversmith, and he had been making all these little multi-breasted images of Diana. And so he gathered together those men who were of the same craft and occupation. And he said, "Sirs, you know that we've been made wealthy by this craft. Moreover, you see and hear that not here in Ephesus alone, but almost throughout all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that there are no gods which are made with hands." Now, what a testimony of the effectiveness of Paul's ministry. Not only here, but in all of Asia, this fellow has turned away many people, saying that you can't make a god with your hands. And hey, this is the way we make our living. And we've been wealthy by this, but we're about to go broke, you know, if this guy prevails. So when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. And they cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia. So this, no doubt, is the Gaius that had been Paul's host in Corinth when Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. They caught this fellow Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, who were Paul's companions in travel, and they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples would not allow him. That Paul, he had guts. I mean, here's a big crowd of people in a riotous state and all upset over Paul, and he's ready to go in and talk to them, you know. Oh, they would have ripped him to shreds. And so the disciples would not allow him. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were Paul's friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not venture himself into the theater. Now inside, some were crying one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and for the most part, the people didn't even know why they'd come together. You know, just one of those mob scenes where, you know, people are yelling and screaming and going into the theater and making a lot of noise. So, you know, the rest of the people just follow in and they hear all this shout. They don't even know why they're there, except there's a big tumult. And then they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all of them with one voice for the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." This temple of Diana in Ephesus was a magnificent building, 425 feet long, 125 columns, and was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was built because someone found a little black image of a multi-breasted Artemis there on the spot. And so the word went around that Jupiter had sent down this little image of Diana, and thus they built this huge temple there. And for the space of 2 hours, these people were chanting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knows not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana?" Hey, who doesn't know, but we are all worshipers of Diana. "And of the image which fell down from Jupiter," this one particular little black multi-breasted goddess that was found. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the courts are open, and there are deputies, let them go ahead and implead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this gathering together. So when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So cooler heads prevailed when the town clerk got up and made this appeal to the people. So this, though, did perpetrate Paul's leaving Ephesus. He had been planning to do so. He had already sent Timothy and Erastus ahead to Macedonia with the letters for the people to gather the offerings for him when he came. They didn't want any collections made while he was there. Get it all collected before I come. And on his way to Jerusalem, he was going to make the swing through Greece.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 19. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Word of God dwell richly in your hearts through faith, that you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of God's love for you, that you might continue in the love of God, abounding in every good work, filled with the Spirit, growing into full maturity in Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May the hand of the Lord be upon your life mightily this week. And may you be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power as you go forth to bear witness of Jesus our Lord to a dying world. God be with you and God bless and keep you in the love of Jesus, our Savior.
Caught in a storm? The Lord stands by you. His purpose sustains you, and God's word will encourage and guide you through the darkness. The Lord's promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is a certainty that will never fail. Troubles come to all of us at one time or another, and even the strongest faith can sometimes waver as hope for a brighter future seems dim. In the Word for Today resource, When the Storm Hits, Pastor Chuck Smith brings encouragement to anyone struggling with life's burdens. From the ability to discern spiritual warfare and how it can affect our emotions, to the realization that God is intimately aware of the storms we are going through, this book will restore hope and peace to the weariest of believers. You can order this resource at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge.
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.